Oh, I know you. I know all three of you. Yeah, Spawn Ranch. Spawn Ranch, yeah. Woo! I don't know your name, but I remember that hair. And you, I remember your white little face. And you were on a horsey. Yeah. You are...
I'm the devil. And I'm here to do the devil's business.
Nah, I was dumber than that.
So I can give this my best Leslie Nielsen on the beach thing. You can go right into it.
Yeah.
So it's showtime! Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Fast Day with Films.
I thought you were going to go with Tell It to Call You Billy.
No, that wouldn't be the Leslie Nielsen one. I love Creepshow, man. I that's another one that I had to buy. I've been buying movies that if I watch every year, I want it on Blu-ray. Because there's a couple of movies that I watch every year and I put it in. Like, we just watched Panic Room the other day. That was another one. I was recalling movies I'd watch.
It's not on my list.
But Panic Room I have on DVD, and I was like, man, I need this on Blu-ray. It just looks so good, and it's such a fucking perfect-ass thriller and everything. So, hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
What's been new with you?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah, not a whole lot here, just a whole lot of work. Overworked, underpaid? Yeah, that's kind of it.
I'm overpaid and underworked.
Yeah. Well, that's not a bad thing, for
not
sure.
Not a bad thing.
That was my last job. Yeah. This job is...
It's my own fault. I can get as many jobs as I want to try to go and get.
I just don't want to.
Well, I'm a busy man.
Yeah, you're a busy man. You got a
farm to run.
You need a... Delicate and I, we were talking to my boss about that because they like to work me like 16 days with 2 days off. And I said, you need a life balance, man. Right now.
I run the whole kitchen in the house. I do all the purchasing, all the cooking, and all the dishes. I run, and that's to do that for two people every meal.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is,
I don't do all the dishes, but I do all the cooking. And
I just got a new car, so I'm more apt to drive than I was before with the big giant truck, because I would burn through gas in that truck.
Man, how great's a new car just driving to the store?
It's nice.
And stuff. It's so nice.
And well, here's what I do.
AC.
Now I go to like three or four different
and
stores.
And you have AC. Remember, you have, how long has it been since you had AC or heat?
2011.
Wow. See?
2012.
And you haven't had to use AC
I've
yet.
Had heat.
But you haven't had to use AC yet
I
on
have,
that car.
Yeah, I've imagine. Used it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got it. I'm using it, motherfucker.
My reason for not using it wasn't because I didn't like AC.
It dipped down to 60. got up to 78. I needed AC.
Some people, the car is their...
I like a cross breeze.
Some people... myself, I like a cross breeze.
Welcome to Fascinated with Climate.
Yeah. Some people... prioritize a car, like a nice car, is literally the second or third most important thing to them.
Yeah, not
purchase
me.
Wise.
I just wanted to start.
Mine is like so far down the list, but it got too embarrassingly low down on the list.
I think mine's low, but not as low as yours.
Yeah, mine was like, if I have something to get from A to B and it doesn't leave parts on the roadway or die on me.
Like, I'm looking at Dave's car, like, is that scotch tape I see right there holding that thing on?
Well,
it works.
Everybody's always like, you beat the shit out of your cars. I was like, you're not paying attention. I'm buying beat up cars and babying the shit out of them for as long as I possibly can.
Yeah, and that's what I was doing for a while, but I'm done with that.
Welcome
now.
To Car Talk.
Yeah.
Didn't one of those dudes die? You ever watch Car Talk?
No, I think I caught it
click
one.
And clack.
Like, it was like Sunday mornings or something like that. I think I caught it.
I was delivering complaints.
Yeah. I think I caught it once or twice. I think you and Justin know about it. I think we had talked about it before, but yeah. So movies. I've been watching a whole bunch of movies. Not a whole lot of new ones, but I wanted to talk about a couple of them before we get into our wild card episode this week. And I have it. We're pulled up Film Scene in 2024. I saw a couple of really good documentaries that everyone should check out. And you like documentaries too. One of them was called, I think they're both on HBO. One of them was called, this is from 2020, Class Action Park. Have you heard about that park in New Jersey where just everyone got injured in the 70s and 80s? And it was called something else park, but they nicknamed it Class Action Park because people were just suing them all the time because they had no... It was like... it was fascinating because they were showing the old rides that you would never get away with. No strap. People weren't getting strapped in. People were falling out of fucking roller coasters.
Here's a funny thing, too. I don't know if you saw this story this week. This trampoline and company, like the have the indoor trampoline parks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those seem cool. Wanna be if I was a kid, I'd love them.
287 broken bones.
Mm. Wow, you never think the trampoline would do that. Man, how are you breaking bones? Is it because you're bouncing on and then off to the ground?
I don't know.
Probably. Because I've seen ones where it's just a whole big room. I'm like, what are you hitting?
Other people's heads.
The other documentary was very interesting. It was definitely HBO, and it was 2024. This year, it was called They Called Him Mostly Harmless. And it was about someone found a body on the Appalachian Trail and in a tent. And he had food and water in the tent with him, but he looked like he just died of malnutrition. And it became like an internet. What was great about the movie is how the internet works. You know, someone put this, I don't know where it was. Maybe it was in Virginia or something like that. But they put the pictures up on the, his body had decomposed so bad that they had to do like a sketch of like what the face would look like if it had a little more meat on it and like fat on his face. And so it was a crude sketch. And they put it out through all the internet and people were sharing it and everything. And someone recognized it. They were like, holy shit. And they were like, I know this guy. And a whole bunch of different hikers are coming forward and say, we met him on that trail. We think he's just walking. But then they were like, well, maybe this guy is on the trail because he's escaping something, and they go back into his past, but they cannot find any relatives or anyone. The only people that have interactions with him are fellow hikers that walk the Appalachian Trail. And it was very interesting about not only the Appalachian Trail, a mystery thing, but also
what was it called?
They called him Mostly Harmless. Such a weird name. They called him Mostly because that was his trail name. Everyone has a trail name, apparently. I'm not a hiker.
I don't have one.
Yeah, apparently I don't.
That's a dream of Maria and her sisters.
Couch potato.
Maria and her sisters made it like a pack as kids.
There's parts of it you could do, too.
They want to do the whole thing.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I think it takes like 8 months or something ridiculous like that.
But apparently his trail name was called Mostly Harmless. So that was...
That's a red flag right there.
Yeah. Well, no, and it was weird. It was kind of up in the air where he got it from and everything. Some say that he got it because some fellow hikers invited him over to the campsite. And he's like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm mostly harmless. And then they end up calling him like that and everything. So I don't know. Sometimes I wonder who's... Like, there's enthusiasts and there's bucket list people like Maria and thing. And then there's people like, if I was trying to avoid the fucking cops and shit like that, walking the Appalachian Trail might not be
here's
a bad,
the
horrible
one thing
idea.
I told my wife, I said, I would love to do part of it with you someday. I said, but here's my one stipulation. Mm-hmm. I want to carry concealed.
Yeah. No, you can't walk that without a weapon.
I said, I'm against handguns. Yeah. 100%. I'll never own a handgun. I will sell it when I get done with the trail.
Carry a rifle on
no,
the trail.
No, you need a handgun. It you need be. Something concealed that if somebody starts something, you have an option.
You're not wrong. It would be weird not to travel.
Have it on my ankle. Yeah. Little 8 shots. I'm not taking down wolves or, but to need it and not have it would be just poor planning.
So the only other movie I watched, because I've watched a bunch of older movies, I've been feeling like when my day's off, I'm like, oh, what's a fun movie and everything. And I've been working way through trilogies. Fletch. We went through all the Back to the Futures recently, then went to the Indiana Jones movies. I watched all the Harry Potter, so I'm just kind of going through a whole bunch of old stuff. But there's still a bunch of new ones that I have never seen that I've owned, and I was like, I've probably owned it for 5 years, still never watched it. And I watched, what was the year for this? I think you and Justin have probably seen this, but it was one of those movies that I just have not seen for some reason. I saw the number Part 3. I think there's 5 of these. I saw Part 3 before I saw Part 1. So this is from 01, and it's Robert Rodriguez's Spy Kids.
Okay.
I had never seen Spy Kids.
I've seen at least one of them.
I saw the third one with Stallone, and I thought it was cute. I thought it was clever and everything, but those kids were almost like friggin' adults at that point. I think they could just get older throughout the thing. And it's kind of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but involving their kids as well. Yeah. It's almost very similar to The Incredibles, to be honest with you. I mean, it's almost exactly The Incredibles if they did not have superpowers, if their powers were we just kick ass and we're spies type of deal. So it was fun. I liked it. It made my very good list. Was there any thing you watched this week? You said you had been watching a bunch of war movies. What more war movies did you watch before we get into our picks?
Platoon, Saving Private Ryan, Apocalypse Now.
Just are those your top three probably war movies?
Yeah.
Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket would be four. So there's probably four. I can add four more onto there. There's some that I can't watch it again, like the Sean Penn one.
Which one's the Sean Penn? Oh, yeah. That I get.
Like, I could watch it and turn it off halfway through.
Some of the best angles and shots, what's his name ever did? Brian De Palma. You know, those just Dutch angles. The angles of fucking, oh man, I can just think of it in my head. The shot at the bridge with Michael J. Fox's scene in the
face in
the foreground.
And he was getting with the knife in the background. Oh, it was great.
It was so good. But some of the best shots. But yeah, it's brutal.
Do you really want to watch a movie?
You can almost, to be honest with you, you can get almost those same great angles and shots and just watch Carlito's Way, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because and at least De Palma is so good, man.
There's
I love
a lot
De Palma.
Of murder and Carlito's Way, but at least it has some
best shot, best cinematography, and just choice of shots, in my opinion, is always going to be Brian De Palma. Did you say you still haven't seen that Heartbreak Ridge? The one with Andrew Garfield has to go up and pull all the bodies down?
Uh-uh.
Oh, that's the war movie you need to watch, man. I don't know what the fucking channel that's on, but that's the one Mom started and she had to turn it off because it was too violent.
Too violent. Yeah.
I didn't think it was that violent.
The thing is, with those other ones, I know when the violence is coming, so it's when it's not, it's weird. I'm way more sensitive to violence than I ever was.
Yeah. I'm not more sensitive to violence. I'm more apt to get... I've been getting choked up about certain movies.
My farm is a violent place. Yeah, like animals and violent.
No,
I believe it.
You would think it's the opposite then. You would think you'd get used to it.
I don't kill any of the animals. This is other animals killing each other.
You would think you'd get used to it.
No.
Now, violence still hasn't really affected me. Stuff that chokes me up more, I was telling on the last pod... Justin, that Last of Us series, there's an episode. Do you hear about that series?
Yeah.
There's an episode in there with Nick Offerman, and it's like an offshoot from the storyline where it goes into this this gay couple who are living in the apocalypse and then meeting each other. And all the way through their lives, they jump forward like 15 years or something and 20 years maybe until their death and everything. And it's one of the most beautiful love stories that I can't talk about it without getting choked up. That's why I'm speeding through it right now. Serious. I could, if I ever was doing movies, I could make myself cry thinking about that movie. And it used to be just like sports movies and stuff like that. But now it's craned
out. When Rudy finally gets called in to the
don't get me going. yeah,
I got one of those on my
list. Do you? Well, let's go. Let's go to our movies.
I don't want to do that one first.
All right. Well, let me know
when
it comes.
That was a good segue that didn't
go anywhere. I'll brace myself. That's a great segue that went nowhere.
Nowhere. Don't you feel terrible for using it? This is a segue.
I'll make my own segue up, motherfucker.
So, Quora, I think that's how you pronounce it. It's the online site where people ask questions and other people answer it.
Oh, I didn't even know about that site. I could have used
that.
It's great. I just use Google.
Rabbit Hole.
Or Reddit.
Rabbit Hole. So.
It's Reddit, but streamlined, basically.
I've never been on Reddit.
Oh, okay.
This is just someone is like, what's it like to be in prison? And then someone, I was an inmate from blah, 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 and this is what it's like, blah, blah, blah.
Cool.
But it's millions of questions.
It's all contained into one site.
In one site.
Yeah.
And I saw this the other day. Who was the most intelligent criminal?
Oh,
and the answer from this one guy was this movie. I don't even know the guy's real name. Daniel, I think. But Catch Me If You Can.
Frank Abernathy Jr.
Jr., the second.
The only reason I know this is because I watched it somewhat recently. I love this movie. And I had my wife watch it. She actually, I think, enjoyed it too. It's just a crazy story. It's a crazy story.
Not to get away from this, but real quick, the Barefoot Banded, they haven't made a movie about him yet, but I'm sure he sold his rights. 18-year-old, didn't wear shoes, stole a plane, didn't know how to fly, flew it, like crashed it but survived, and like did a bunch of other criminal shit.
I see.
And he got arrested. He's in prison.
Put Timothy Chalamet or Austin Butler in it right now. Those are the two of the biggest young actors around. I still haven't seen Dune 2. Man, I need to see Dune 2 probably in the theater. I love the first Dune. But I'm still a David Lynch Dune guy. So
that one's suspect.
Anyways. Oh, no, I love the David Lynch Dune, man. It had to grow on me as a kid because there's so many weird scenes kind of strung together. Scenes. But I do like it, and I do want to see that. I'm going to go see Ghostbusters next week.
Oh, okay.
So. Or is it 2 weeks? 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk some Catch Me If You Can.
So basically it was a teenage kid.
Spielberg. Let's talk. Spielberg movie, so yeah. Spielberg.
Tom Hanks and Spielberg back together again.
Leo. Leo's took his break from Scorsese. Yeah, or yeah. This was like before he kind of went towards Scorsese. Scorsese got it, kind of owns Leonardo DiCaprio.
He lets him
now.
Be a little bit more edgy, I think.
Well, I think that's with every actor.
Spielberg
every,
is like, he wants, he knows what he wants.
Is that his only Spielberg movie that he Leo did? Yeah. Leo spreads himself out until he found Scorsese, and he's like, Scorsese knows what I want to do, and I just kind of want to do it. Have you seen Kills of the Flower Moon yet?
No.
Oh, gotta see that movie. You would love that movie. That's sure. That's a 4-hour sit at home make sauce movie that you would absolutely love because it's exactly what you want a Scorsese movie to be. It's like Goodfellas but with the Native American tribes and Robert De Niro being a motherfucker and Leo being kind of an idiot. I mean, he was the opposite of an idiot in Catch Me If You Can too. Why don't you talk? So he's. He's kind of an opportunist, you know, because he becomes three different people throughout the span of the movie, you know?
He just wants to live life. His ultimate goal was to help his parents get back together.
Yeah, but even before that, I think he got a taste of the good life that his parents had for a very brief period of time. There was like 3 or 4 years where his father was doing good, and then after that, it was like a struggle his whole fucking life.
But like, I think his father lost a job, and his mother left him because of it. And he was trying to get them back
together.
She went with
his best friend. She was with his best friend.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. And so she back.
She was kind of a...
Yeah, she was a shit. She was from France. I guess they met in the war. Remember Christopher Walken constantly telling the story over and over again. It's all he has. Christopher Walken was incredible in this movie.
He was very good in this movie. He wasn't in a bunch of scenes.
I want to say he won the Oscar for it. I'll look it up really quick. What about... He was a bunch of scenes, what?
He wasn't in a bunch of scenes, but every scene he was in, it was
decent enough. It was all with Leo, for sure, so it must have been a fucking gift for them. All right, it was nominated for 2 Oscars, supporting role Christopher Walken and the original music. The music was great in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
You would never know it was John Williams. It seemed like an old Hitchcocky, a fun Hitchcocky movie.
So his crime spree started because he saw a pilot.
Yep, walking with a lot of ladies. With a couple, two ladies.
Stewardesses.
Yeah,
one on each arm, and like he was like, "Who the fuck?"
Also, and it's weird if you're watching this movie and you're younger because you're watching it and there's kids coming up and getting autographs from the pilots. Yeah. You fucking believe that? Can you imagine? That wasn't even around. You listen, that wasn't even around when me and Dave were kids. No one was getting an autograph.
But
you might buy him a drink at a bar.
If you flew, you were big time.
Oh yeah.
Back then.
Yep.
And it wasn't the
same with
bus
stewardesses
in the sky.
Or flight attendants now, but stewardesses back then, it was like a high
fashion.
It was like a high fashion job.
It was like
you could travel the fucking world.
Now it's like
back then, it was like you want to become a model? No, I'll just become a stewardess. I can be beautiful and travel the world and see all these different sights and everything like that.
Carpenteri's dad worked as a bigwig for Delta.
Yep,
and could fly anywhere in the world for free. And he would go on vacations.
Grandfather
he would go
Easter.
On vacations without his family to go to Egypt for 3 days.
Jesus.
And then come back. And then the next week he'd go to South Africa for 4 days. Like he just loved flying and he loved culture.
Yeah. If you got it free and
it's free to go
free
anywhere.
Do that, that's crazy. Man, they just dropped ticket prices all over Europe. $575 for almost any place in Europe right now.
Yeah.
For the times we're going to go for our anniversary. So we have a big, we're leaning towards Switzerland. But now we're like, do we go to Zurich or do we go to Geneva? And I was like, man, Geneva's like, it's like a 20-minute like train ride from Milan. So you can go like right over to Italy and visit Milan. I was like, it's all about what you can jump to and everything. So yeah, if I had that, and he was doing that to get back to the movie, he was using that jump seat. I know it was like 15, 20 years ago when I realized what a jump seat was. You know, it's that little seat that they have
down.
in the cockpit. And
he was just catching a ride so that he could
it happens all
potentially
the time.
Fly from another location. So
I think it happens all the time.
But he was never getting in the cockpit. He was literally just collecting a paycheck because...
This was the best thing he ever did, what
he
you're about
how
to talk about.
He learned how to counterfeit. He became a master counterfeiter.
Well, before that, that was ultimately
his goal. He was counterfeiting the checks. He was taking... He was taking model airplanes from Pan Am, and he was soaking them in the bathtub.
This is something I would have done as a kid.
And then he would take the sticker off because it, when you got the glue wet, it loosened, and then we'd put it, the seal on the check, and he was just writing himself checks.
This is also early in the, like, it was probably the 60s, so it was, or, yeah, it was probably the, I don't know if it was the early 60s or the late 60s, but the banking system was, yeah, like, yeah, easily able but to be fooled.
One more story about the movie before I get to Tom Hanks. The funniest, one of the funniest scenes in the movie is when he hires, it might even have been someone we know. It was a prostitute, like a escort, like a high end. Oh,
Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner.
Yep.
High end escort. He goes to pay her and he has one of his mm-hmm. checks and he's like, well, let me go cash it and I'll come back and pay you the 300,000. Yeah. He's like, yeah, but crazy. This check is for like $1,600.
Oh,
or
maybe that's what it was. It was like 700, but the check was for 1,000 or something.
So, She said, I'll just give you cash for the rest of it.
You write the check over to me.
So the check was worthless, and she paid him.
That was the best money ever spent right there. That's hilarious.
But so all this activity catches the Secret Service, I think, is in charge of.
Yeah, I think that's who it was.
Or the Postal Service.
It was the Secret Service or FBI.
But there's like
no, it was the FBI because that's who he ends up going to work for.
But he finally like figures out somebody's doing something with the checks, and they're really good at it.
And the narrative is kind of fucked, if I remember, on this movie too. So we actually see him get caught at the beginning, and we're jumping forward. And every once in a while, we jump back while Tom Hanks is like transporting him on an airplane
from France.
Yeah,
this was at the very end of his career. He knew he had to leave U.S. because his cover was blown.
Yeah, he had already. So he went from an airline pilot to impersonating a doctor. And the doctor one was funny, man. It was great. He was just watching Barnaby Jones or whatever the fuck, or a doctor
Trapper
killed her or something. Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. And he was, remember the best line is, I concur? You concur? I concur. Yeah. Damn, I should have concurred. Super funny that some of the great guest stars in this too, remember Martin Sheen in it, Elizabeth Banks, the first Amy Adams. Amy Adams looked like she was fucking 16
in this movie. She was the candy striper?
Yeah, she was the candy striper. She looked so young because of the braces, but mm-hmm. she played it really young. You like watch this and then go watch The Fight right afterwards when she's swearing all her with her Boston accent.
She did a good Boston accent.
And when she's yelling at Wahlberg's sisters on the porch is one of my favorite things from the who the fuck do you think you are, bitch?
I watched. I
love that. The Fighter is one of those fun Boston
It's funny.
Movies.
If I went back and hung out in our neighborhoods and people...
Oh, it'll come back to you.
But people ripped on each other.
Oh, yeah.
So much.
There
was nothing...
Cancel culture did not...
No.
Go up there when it came.
They would
to,
yell at their neighbors like, "Pick up your fucking trash, you hobo!" And then like you'd see them at the picnic together.
Oh, it was
like,
all in good fun. Everyone understands.
Yeah, but
it
wasn't
it
at the time when they yelled it. Like I remember the Christians.
I forget about it until I go up there, and then my buddy Jay and my cousin Eric are, and even their friends, I forget how much they bust balls, man. And when I show up there, they're busting my balls. And I was like, this kind of makes me feel good. You know, I come back here and everyone's doing that fun ribbing and everything.
But if you never grew up with that, it would be really weird.
Oh, it would be weird.
You'd be like, why you hate me so much? Yeah. Like,
what? We definitely grew up with
I'm hanging out with you. What do you mean?
So, I mean, the movie's fantastic, man. It's exactly where Spielberg's kind of in the zone as being just that great director, but it's also it's a movie that Tom Hanks does a lot. Leo does not do a lot. Spielberg does not do a lot. John Adams,
where he would call him every Christmas,
yeah,
because he was lonely.
True story.
He knew that Tom Hanks was going to be on the job, like Mr. Got to get it done. My favorite scene is when Tom Hanks thinks he has him cornered.
Mm.
He comes running in.
Oh, it's great scene.
And he sees Leonardo DiCaprio, but he doesn't know what he looks like.
Yeah.
So Leonardo DiCaprio was like, I'm from such and such agency. We're chasing the same guy.
Yeah.
He's like, he had to go get something out of his, he's like, well, do you have any ID? And he threw him his wallet.
But then he distracts him right after he drops it. He says, oh, look, this is my partner outside.
Yeah.
And so he brings him over the window and he points him and he shouts out to him.
Hey, and the guy
something.
Waves up
hey,
to
get
him
down to the thing and everything. Yeah, and then he goes right back.
And then he goes
window.
Outside and then like he's standing around for like a minute, looking around the room, looking around there. Finally, he looks in the wallet and there's all the stickers from where he took off the to make the checks.
Or he has a problem. He has like an OCD thing where he's ripping up Coke, like the plastic around the thing. Yeah, so it was a lot of those things in his wallet and everything, and it was just garbage, and you saw Tom Hanks throwing them all out. Well, you should jump forward to the end of what happens to Frank Abagnale.
And this is a real true story.
This is crazy.
So he goes to prison.
Well, right, the whole movie was complete almost, and then you get this 20 minutes at the end.
He goes to prison. I can't remember how long. It was probably 5 years, maybe more. Maybe 10 years. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a good
He got off on early release with the stipulation that he had to go work for the FBI.
Specifically with Tom Hanks. Specifically
with the guy that caught him to teach him how people are getting away. Yep. Like how to catch you, basically. Yep. Almost the same thing that American Gangster. Remember?
Yeah. At the end of
the hired to help him take down.
It's smart. It's what they should do. Who would know more than an ex-counterfeiter and everything?
Yeah.
Like, I remember the first time on the first day, Tom Hanks shows him the check and he's like, oh, it's a teller. He tells him immediately. He's like, you haven't even barely looked at it. He says, I don't have to. See the raised ink on there and then you feel it? You feel that? He says, this is a teller. Teller did this. And everything. And you're like, what the fuck? And Tom Hanks just looks at him. He was like, oh, this is who he absolutely... it wasn't even the... See, Tom Hanks was happy about having him there. It was like those two partners that he had with him the whole movie that now had to look at them in the next cubicle after they've been like hunting him down for so long. It's great, man. It's a fantastic movie. I'm surprised it never won a friggin' Oscar, man. What the hell?
And it was directed by...
Spielberg. Yeah, he'll get screwed of an Oscar every once in a while.
You can't give him... You can't really consider him for everyone.
No, you can't.
There was almost a time when every time Scorsese would do something, it was like, well, he's got to be nominated for an Oscar.
It's a great meme that's been going around lately that says, do you realize that 20 years ago in the theater at the same time was Shawshank Redemption, Forrest Gump, Pulp Fiction, and there was like one more. They were all in the theater all at the same time. And then the Oscars came, and I don't think they gave it to any of them. Wasn't that the same year that Dance with Wolves came out? I can't remember. Someone swept that year, so the only award Pulp Fiction got was like screenplay or something.
Oscars are very political.
Yeah, for sure. They happen this Sunday.
Oh, is it this Sunday?
Yeah, I have some sick time. I'm actually supposed to work, but it got me in the middle of a crazy schedule, like 9 days with one day off in the middle. So four on, one off, four on.
What's the point of the one off? Can't even enjoy it.
No, I can't. I work that morning. That's the problem that I have with only single days off. You know, from midnight to 6 a.m., so I'm working
still
that
day.
I've been arguing with my bosses about this for months. I said, my car is still in your parking lot. for 9 days straight. I said, regardless of that day off, my car's still here. I shouldn't have to be at Lowe's. My car should not have to be
I get
at
to
Lowe's.
Sleep in, but then I got to work that night.
Yeah. Well, no, I have Friday off, and I was like, usually if I'm going to use a sick day, I would use a connecting
back
day.
To back.
I would, but Sunday's the Oscars, and I was like, I kind of like going back for a day and then getting a day off, because then 2 days later, I have 2 days off in a row. So I was kind of considering using sick time. They use as like a business day. They don't give a shit if you're calling sick. Wait, you calling sick? Use sick time? Good. It's available. Do it. So they almost encourage you to do it. But yeah, I wanted to watch the Oscars, man. Most of the Oscars I don't miss. There was not many movies from this one I've seen. I really want to see that Pretty Things. That one with Emma Stone.
Okay. Yeah.
You see, she looks weird. She's got like a unibrow or something. Yeah, I think she's like a robot or something like. Ooh. It's very Tim Burton-esque.
I saw a Spaceman trailer.
Spaceman. What's that?
The Adam Sandler, new Adam Sandler.
Oh, I never saw the trailer for it yet.
We'll have to watch it after.
Spaceman. I'm still waiting for the Safadi Brothers movie with him. The same guys that did Uncut Gems is doing their new movie in Good Time. Good Time is available on fucking Tubi. Everyone should watch it. You should watch it. Good Time is one of the best movies of the last 10 years. I bought Justin a hard copy of it. And I don't think he's watched it yet, but I'm telling you, Good Time, check it out. You'll have a good time. Let me look at my movie here. Where am I going to go? All right. We were watching
Muppets?
Me and my girl were watching a TV show where there was someone who was like almost a compulsive liar on it, and we were fascinated how like he just kept lying and lying and lying. And I was like, you know what movie you'd like? I was like, we need to watch. What is it? Or is that the movie you were gonna? Were you gonna do that? No, you weren't gonna pick that one. We had talked.
We had a conflict.
Yeah, no. I don't think we have a conflict. Shattered Glass.
Okay.
Is what I'm gonna talk about. That wasn't on yours, was it?
No.
Okay, good. So. Talking about compulsive liars, And there's no better movie than Shattered Glass. And I love Pimping Shattered Glass. We might have mentioned it a couple times on the pod, but it's one of those movies.
What year
we certainly haven't
out?
Talked about it in a while. I want to say 2000. Let me look it up. It should be right at the top of my IMDb thing. This was Hayden Christensen. He was still doing...
this is before Darth Vader?
2003. He was in the middle of it.
When was The Wire?
Ooh, that I'm not
after
sure.
After 2003?
Maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
Let me look up Hayden Christensen. What else?
Because remember the storyline? They copied this movie.
So this was between 2 and 3 in those Star Wars movies. So between the Clone Wars and the Revenge of the Sith. He ended up doing this movie called
Shadow
One
of my
Boss.
Favorite actors, isn't it, is his boss.
Peter, this movie is fucking packed. This movie is packed with the best character actors of the time. 2003. So this is a Lionsgate film. This was like...
True story.
This is how A24 is now. If you're listening and you're a huge A24 fan or Neon fan, think of that. But back in the early 2000s, it was Lionsgate. They were hitting everything out of the park. They were casting every great actor. So you got Hayden Christensen, Peter Sarsgaard, who's amazing. You have the girl from the other person from Boys Don't Cry. What's the girl's name? The one from Brown Bunny that gave the director a blowjob on film.
Chloe Sevigny.
You also have Melanie Lansky.
I would have known her for other than that.
Yeah. Hopefully. Well, she's great in Boys Don't Cry. She's great in almost
I never
kids.
Saw Brown Bunny.
She does controversial movies. Kids, it was super controversial. The other person from Kids it was in this movie. They didn't have a scene together, but Rosara Dawson was in this. Steven Zahn, Hank Azaria was great as one of the bosses in it. I think that was like the bulk of the good character
actors.
Yeah,
they stole this storyline for Wire. I don't know if you remember.
For The Wire, did they?
Yeah, they had when they had the reporter one.
Oh, yeah, that was later. That was like season 4 or 5.
They had, that one dude was just started making up little details at first. And then
well, that's what it is, man. So it's like, the paper, the magazine wasn't huge, but it was, they always touted that it was like.
That's the problem with being a liar.
Yeah.
Like, I realized early on that I was really good at it.
Yeah.
Like, because you have to believe what you're saying enough to like.
Yeah.
If someone asks you about it, a year later, you know the answer because you've already made the story.
That's George Costanza-esque.
Yeah.
It's only a lie.
But
if you don't believe it.
Probably in my mid-20s, I said, why would you want someone around you that didn't know the real you?
Yeah, I mean, you get caught in one lie and you look like shit.
I'm not talking about little white lies. Like
for sure. But
I'm talking about like...
Whoppers.
Lies. like people like this guy... He would tell him when you probably didn't even need to.
Well, so we're talking 2003 here. Was the movie came out? I think it was probably closer to 98 when the story actually happened and everything.
What was the name of the publication?
The New Republic.
New Republic.
And it was they touted it as the Air Force One had it as one of their magazines.
Yeah,
everything. It was a very political thing, but it was like
it was well
it was thought very
out.
Highfalutin.
Like,
it was,
but if you read it, you could believe the stories that were in it.
And what was great about the
almost
magazine
like the Post.
Is we got to see the inner workings of the magazine, the editor, the copy editor, all these different things, all the different roles and everything. But what was going on with this character that Hayden Christensen played is that he wrote a story about a bunch of hackers that met up and had a hacker convention, and it just seemed very... kind of wild. There was hacker convention at this hotel, and then it
but
carried
that
over
seems really
and
easy
it carried
to
over to the hotel room, like, and then they possibly could have raped this girl. And Hayden Christensen said he was there and he watched it and he wrote this whole story about it, and everyone loved it. So, but once it was published, Steven Zahn worked for Forbes Digital, and he worked with the hackers in the tech department and everything about those stories. So his boss calls him in and says, why didn't you get this story? And Steven Zahn looks at it and he says, I have no idea. And so he starts doing research of it. He's getting no hits. The hotel had nothing going on there that weekend. There's no company that he can find.
Yeah, that's sloppy lying.
Or there was things he ended up finding... He said there was like one byline for something, or it was one phone. He tried to call the company. It was one phone for a company of 300 people because he had Rosario Dawson call on the other line to get a busy signal, and he was figuring it out. So nothing was adding up. So they had to have a conference call with Hayden Christensen and his editor. And at the time, it was Hank Azaria was the original editor. He got fired, and Peter Sarsgaard got moved up. So Peter Sarsgaard's on the phone and everything, and they were like, bring your notes to the meeting because people are having problems with this piece you wrote. And you can tell Hayden Christensen is very much on the spectrum. In 2003, it wasn't as obvious to people. And when you're rewatching the movie, you're like, man, Hayden Christensen's so good in this movie. And he gets no love, man. It's like the curse and the gift that he's been given was to get Star that Star Wars role. Yeah. Because
he could have stayed underground. And
he's
been
so good as an actor, and he's still great, and he could be.
But he went back.
I'm still waiting
people
for him.
People can go back.
I'm still waiting for him to go back and do quality stuff, and I know he's going to at some point.
You got
to
take the Star Wars money, man.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely has to
take,
Star,
to take
Wars.
Star Wars.
And
money.
He did the. He took
they
the
come
Obi-Wan.
With you, like
he took the Obi-Wan.
You look
money
in the mirror too. And you say, "This is what we've been waiting for our entire life. Take the money."
Well, that's what is weird. That's
blame
what,
it on Spielberg or blame it on Lucas.
DiCaprio won't do it, and DiCaprio will tell all the young actors, "Don't do it." He's already told.
Well,
Chalamet,
it's the dark side.
Chalamet and Austin Butler. I think he had a conversation with Austin Butler, and he was like, "Don't do it, man."
Yeah. You want quality? You want quantity?
Yeah. So none of the notes were adding up, and he was like, he spent all night. It was supposed to, he had like 7 or 8 hours notice that the meeting was going to take place. So he spent all night long coming up with a fake website that looked fake. He had his brother and leave a phone message on and everything, and they're figuring all this stuff out. And Peter Sarsgaard's getting fed up with it. And he takes him to the place. He's like, "You were there? You were at the hotel?" He's like, "Let's go." And so he goes to the hotel and he enters, and they were like, it's like the lobby is like also this stairway and everything, and it could never in a million years have fit how many people he says. Yeah. He's like, "You said 300 people were here. 300 people aren't fitting in this room." He's like, "Well, they had to open a new room and everything," and it keeps evolving and changing. And as a viewer, you're just like rubbing your temple, like, going, "Oh my God!
Well,
he's obviously caught like 10 lies ago," and he keeps digging him deeper. I don't think he ever admits to anything. He just keeps lying and lying. I was like, this guy's got to be one of the most proficient liars I've ever seen in my life.
But it wasn't believable.
True story. But what was great about it is Peter Sarsgaard suspends him. He's like, "All right, you're suspended." And the co-worker's like, "He's going to kill himself. He's not right in the head. He's going to kill himself." And Peter Sarsgaard's like, "I don't care. He's getting suspended."
Yeah.
And as Peter Sarsgaard's in the lobby, they had this kind of cool thing that on one of the walls was a whole bunch of racks of all their issues. And he immediately starts grabbing each of them that he knows Hayden Christensen had written. And he's going through all of them, and he's like, "Holy shit, he made all of them up." He's like, "He made up every fucking story." Chloe Sevigny comes in and starts giving Peter Skarsgård shit. It's one of the best scenes these two have ever had together, and I think they've been in like three movies together, or three or four. Definitely Boys Don't Cry, I love them both in. But they're screaming at each other, and Peter Skarsgård
loves him in that movie. But
no, he's still good. He's still really, really good in it. I like Boys Don't Cry. I actually go and revisit it quite a lot. There's a lot of those weird
center of the world
dark subjects I don't revisit, but for some reason Boys Don't Cry is just so well done that I will revisit it. I love everyone in it. But Peter Sarsgaard screaming at Chloe. She's like, you can't fire him. And he's like, "You don't understand." He's like, he said, "There won't be any magazine tomorrow." He's like, "This is going to affect every single one of us." He turned in like a false story after false story after false story, and we all just laughed at his jokes and we ate it up. He said, "This stuff has been triple checked by our editors and we all fucking failed here." So they realized that what he's done is just completely going to fuck the whole paper up. So
what ended up happening in the paper, do you know?
I think it was like years later, because I think Chuck was the Peter Skarsgård character. This is why physical media is great, people. The DVD for Shattered Glass has an amazing like 15-minute documentary on it, but the commentary is with the real life Peter Sarsgaard character, and he does it with the director, and he just I listened to the commentary, he just watches it and he tells like more in-depth stories, and this is where
they're
I knew something
around.
Was wrong, and
they're
this
still
is
around.
Oh, it's still around. Cool. Yeah,
they're all, not all online, but they're
online, but
they got a bunch of stories.
Shattered Glass, man. It's a fantastic movie. Everyone should check it out. I'm not sure if it's hard to find or not.
Here's the hard-hitting news. Exxon wants you to feel guilty about climate change. The Republicans who sold their souls to Vladimir Putin.
Oh, see? See, they're still doing hard-hitting stuff. All right, what do you have for your number two?
I recently watched one that I had seen here, and I think I saw it in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maria hadn't seen it, and someone told her to see it or she's like, I need to see the latest Tarantino movie. Because some of them she doesn't like the Western one where they all meet.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm never going to watch that. And I get it.
Yeah.
That's a...
I like it more and more every time I rewatch it.
So I'm talking about Once Upon a Time in
Hollywood. Oh, Justin's thrilled. Justin, don't turn us off. Keep us on. Keep us on.
That's right. He doesn't like this movie.
We saw it in the theater with him. He didn't like it. It was just too slow for him.
It's too slow. But if you don't like... And I thought... Yeah, it's too slow.
But Tarantino's, I'm telling you, some of the best reviewings you'll ever have are Tarantino films, and you'll like ones more and more. Inglourious Basterds was always pretty low on my list, and I rewatched it.
I like that movie.
Well, like I said, when I rewatched it, I'm like, man, this should be higher on my list. Every fucking one of Tarantino's movies is fucking incredible. I mean, even the lowest of Tarantino movies, I'm not even sure what I'd put at the lowest, but it's still fantastic.
I'll tell you what, I was getting excited about The Hateful Eight right up until...
I like The Hateful Eight, but more and more every time I watch it, too.
But there was a point... Like, once they all started getting poisoned, then it started getting weird.
It started getting ridiculous. But if you rewatch it sometime, man. It's so fucking good.
It started getting weird.
But Once Upon a Time in Hollywood might be my second favorite Tarantino movie after Pulp Fiction, to be honest with you. And I like so many of it. I like Jackie Brown a lot. I love Reservoir Dogs a lot. I love all those fucking movies, man. I like Death Proof more than most people. Most people have it real low on his list.
But here's the weird thing. It's like, do I value a movie because I can watch it multiple times, or do I value of how much I liked it, but I don't really need to see it again?
Yeah. Multiple viewings, I think, is probably better for me because I... Rewatching it is when you really get to learn the details of it. Well, first of all, did she like it?
Yeah, she really liked it.
Man, it's such a phenomenal movie.
You know why the only reason she decided to watch it?
What?
Was because someone told her that Quentin Tarantino reverses history.
Yeah.
And has alternate Charles Manson storyline.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. That's not really... It's somewhat of a spoiler.
It's somewhat of a spoiler.
But he did it already in Glorious Bastards. People forget about that. They fucking burned Hitler up in the fucking... They shot Hitler and burned him up in the theater.
Hitler died. Tarantino killed Hitler.
Yeah, and no one even really talked much about it, that he reversed history and everything. Everyone's like, that's kind of cool. There's no reason he has to keep it a true story the whole time.
It doesn't have to be true at all. It's entertainment.
And I loved that he did it with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Loved it because... We're watching Margot Robbie, who is like the most likable person in the world. We're watching her on camera, knowing that what's going to happen to her. If she playing Sharon
Tate,
murdered
and have her baby cut out of her.
I don't think
that crime to me when I was a kid really affected me.
The baby was never cut out of her.
But that's the story you got.
That was what they were going to do, but I think they started and stopped type of deal. But I think that had blown up a little bit, but... It was one of the most horrific crimes ever. I mean, we heard about it in the 70s
when we were young.
And Manson was obviously a big thing and everything. The only thing that, and this would have helped get it more viewers for this, not that he needs to cater to anybody.
It's a Tarantino movie.
And it wasn't Tarantino either. He tried to quell the whole, it's about Charles Manson. He was like, no, it's about 1960 fucking nine or whatever it is. It's not about Charles Manson. Charles Manson is an element in it, and that's about all. Mm-hmm. It's more about the relationship.
There was crossovers like his normal movies.
Yeah, like his more...
Brad Pitt sort of...
It's more about the bromance that the Leonardo DiCaprio, as an actor, had with his stuntman. You know, the life they had together, and we got to see Leo's life, and we got to see Brad Pitt's life, and how it interconnected with everything else that happened to be going on in Hollywood at the time. But it had some of the great stuff, like the Spall Ranch and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, that stuff at the ranch, that's the first time we saw Austin Butler. He was the one that was on the horse he played Tex.
Who is he played now?
He was Elvis. And he's in the new Dune movie. Elvis is so fucking good, dude. You could hate Elvis and love that Elvis movie.
I like the Elvis story.
Yeah, but it's so good. The only thing it takes a while to get used to the Tom Hanks voice. But other than that, it's a phenomenal movie. And I didn't think I was going to like it.
The guy from Bug?
Michael Shannon?
He did that Elvis movie where he met Nixon.
Yeah, the problem with that is...
It was really good.
Kevin Spacey was in it. It was kind of goofy. That was one of those movies I don't think I'd ever have to watch again.
I think it happened exactly that way.
I'm sure that was. It was a good... If you don't... Unfamiliar with the story, it's good to watch it and everything. But Austin Butler is next level good. And Tarantino knew it. That's why he put him in as Tex in this movie. Obviously, a lot of great Tarantino actors. What, Kurt Russell comes in. Zoe mm-hmm. Bell comes in.
Controversy with the...
With the Bruce Lee thing.
Bruce Lee estate.
Just stupid. Thinking he looked... I was like, half the movie's fucking fake and made up. And no one's a bigger fan of Bruce Lee than Quentin Tarantino anyways. So I think people got upset because...
Bruce Lee lost the fight.
I was like, come on, man.
It's a made-up fight.
It's a made-up fight that he had on the set.
And it wasn't like he fought him. He just grabbed him and threw him against a car.
Yeah, it's not like he lost
him. It's not like he lost to him in karate. It was a draw.
You don't think Bruce Lee could take a hit?
What about Vietnam?
You don't think Bruce Lee gets hit every once in a while? Yeah. I'm sure he gets hit and gets knocked down in a real fight. But yeah, and it's been well known that Bruce Lee was cocky, which is kind of what the real point of that scene was, that he was just a cocky motherfucker going against another cocky motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that whole element of it. But I've said before, I could watch a whole movie of Brad Pitt just driving around town, fixing roofs, doing everything he did. It was one of the
I could have watched the show that DiCaprio was on?
With Timothy Olyphant?
Yeah. Like if they made that movie...
I mean, it's interesting as hell to see the behind the scenes stuff of that and everything. But one of the most deserved Oscars was Brad Pitt for this movie because that was one of the main things I remember leaving the theater. I was like, that was one of the best things I ever saw Brad Pitt in, specifically that ending, obviously. And we could talk the ending if we want to really get into it. Because if you don't like the movie, I can understand it being boring.
Well, it kind of starts with what's her name's daughter?
Yeah. Mimi Rogers.
Mimi Rogers.
Yeah.
She's one of the dirty kids, hippies that lived out
on the Spall Ranch,
and she would be in town doing shit, and Brad Pitt would see her and he'd flirt with her. He saw her once or twice, and then the third time she asked him for a ride,
and it was to the Spawn Ranch.
I
remember he's like, "Holy shit! I used to do movies out there." Yeah. What's his name still there? Who was supposed to be? Do you remember who? It was Bruce Dern.
Bruce Dern.
Do you know who it was supposed to be? Burt Reynolds.
He died.
Yep. Burt Reynolds died. It would have been sad to see Burt Reynolds in that thing because I don't know if you saw Burt Reynolds in that last year. He was around. It would be sad to see him in that Bruce Dern role. Bruce Dern had been playing that role for 20 years, but Burt Reynolds.
My brother-in-law did a commercial with him.
Yeah.
Like. A month or 6 months before he died.
Yeah, it was sad.
And they were like feeding him the lines, he would go off on these weird tangents and he'd be looking around at everybody and be like, we got shit to the film here.
It's weird. I can appreciate these guys like seeing images of Clint Eastwood out there filming at 93 years old or they just some brought James Hong just turned 95. He's out there getting his fucking...
Some people, if he retired, he would die.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe he just wants to die on the set. I don't know. Maybe that's part of it.
Well, He has a shot.
He has a shot at it, that's for sure.
but anyway, that scene where Brad Pitt goes out there is one of my favorite scenes. They've killed this old man and now they're the hippies co-opting their...
Yep.
So he goes in...
And he wants to see him, he insists.
And
Dakota Fanning.
Dakota Fanning plays like a bloated, dirty...
Yep. The girl from Girls, mother. Lena Dunham, was in it.
She's trashy.
Kevin Smith's daughter was one of them.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn Smith. Yeah. So he casted really well with all these, and he let them be dirty, man.
Yeah. Like, he found out that he was letting them stay there because he was having sex with Dakota Fanning.
Yeah, some of my favorite stuff is when he leaves there, and they got Bruce Dern so drugged up, and he's getting laid every once in a while from these girls, so he's pretty happy with the arrangement.
What else is he going to do?
Yeah, yeah, he's pretty happy with the arrangement.
He watches his shows.
Yeah, Brad Pitt's like, okay then. So when he leaves, this is one of my favorite parts when he goes over his car and it's the flat.
Someone put a knife.
Oh, when he's dealing with that hippie and everything, and that's when one of the other Manson girls says, go get Tex. Tex is on the middle of doing like a... They're like doing these weird...
Running like a side tour guide business.
Yeah, I know, a tour guide business like right out of his
riding
thing.
Horses out of his
get extra
ranch.
Money, whatever. But when he makes that guy fix his own platform and he just gets out of there before Tex comes around the corner. Not that...
Yeah, drive out of there with a flat.
I mean, it would have been a whole different story because Brad Pitt would have fucking destroyed Tex regardless.
Yeah, Tex was armed.
Yeah, but if we saw what Brad Pitt could do to him when he was on acid. You can imagine what he clear-headed what he would able to be.
Bought the acid cigarette from...
Was it Leo? He got it from Leo?
No, he got it from the girl that he gave a ride to.
Oh, the Mimi Rogers' daughter?
Yeah, 50 cents or 25 cents.
That's crazy.
My favorite is the scene with the little girl and
Yeah, and she's so good. My mom knew all about her. Apparently, she's on a TV show.
Yeah,
called American something. I don't know what
it is. I
think
I looked her up, and she was in something.
Yeah, it's the Diedrich Bader's new, or Diedrich Bader had a sitcom.
I mean, she was really good. You could so tell. Good. She was like, she's going to be somebody something.
I don't know what she's done since then. Hopefully, she's going to be doing some great shit, because if she has that type of talent at that age, she's definitely going to carry it over. But that end sequence, man, it's so good. It's so satisfying. Never has violence been more satisfying in your life when you go into a scene, and this is credit to Quentin Tarantino, how good he is, because we're going in with our guts twisted, because we're about to see the
Sharon Tate get
to see Sharon Tate and all her friends get fucking butchered and everything. And Tarantino shift, they go to the wrong house. It's the house right next door. And that house right next door just happens to be Leonardo DiCaprio, yeah, his wife, and Brad Pitt. Leo's in the pool.
His new bride, yeah,
new like French bride.
No, Italian.
Italian, that's right. Can barely speak English. She's sleeping in the back bedroom. Leonardo DiCaprio is listening to his lines in the pool. So he doesn't know what's going on. And Brad Pitt just smoked the acid cigarette.
Talk about first
He's
about
to
dog,
feed
though.
His dog.
He has this dog that he can...
do that click click noise
command while sit, and then pours his food and then sits back down and waits like 10 minutes.
They beautifully introduced that,
yeah,
at
so
the
you
beginning
knew
of the
he
movie
had command over that dog, yep. And that's the first thing you think about, because the dog goes to take a step forward when hears the bang on the door.
Man, when they come in, you get to see Brad Pitt for a brief period of time turn back into Floyd from True Romance.
Yeah. I know you.
I know you. No, it was. He's like, my name's Tex. He's like, no, it was way dumber than that. But when shit goes down, man, oh man, he commands that dog. It grabs Tex's crotch, and then the one girl comes at him, and he throws the soup can at her, and the other girl, he's smashing her face on the fucking thing. The dog food can. He's smashing that one girl's face on the countertop and everything. But then the one girl goes.
Oh yeah,
outside.
She had already was dead, half dead.
She's like going outside like crazy and goes into the pool. And Leo screams and jumps out of the pool and grabs.
She starts firing that gun just randomly into the air.
Yep, and Leonardo DiCaprio goes and gets his flamethrower from the shed and lights the girl on fire. And watching it, you saw it multiple times in the theater. I think you saw it with mom.
Yeah,
down in Port
I saw
Charlotte.
It two times in the theater. Once. Again, here I think with you, and then
I've watched it at least three times. It's such an enjoyable rewatch, especially when you know that I had the same joy when I watched Pulp Fiction. When you were like, "Oh my god, the scene's coming up, the gimp scene's coming up, I can't wait."
But that, I mean, Tarantino's movies aren't for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, they're not. You have to be all right with bad language,
like,
bad
violence.
It's
weird that mom likes it, because I would think she would get confused with the timeline shifts. Or the jumping around, who's this person?
She's read
person?
The book that Tarantino came out with after the movie. Tarantino
He
wrote a book after the film about basically the movie, but added stuff to it. So if you wanted to hear more stuff, it's the movie, but it's
but
like
in book form with
in
more
book
stuff.
Form with more stuff. And she ordered that. It's one of her favorite movies. I think she's watched this movie 5 or 6 times. She's seen it more than
anything. She likes Pulp Fiction.
She loves Tarantino. Tarantino and Scorsese are probably her favorite. She's a gangster person, like
crime
number one.
Gangster.
She still watches. I think she watches 2 Soprano episodes every day. I think she starts her day watching Sopranos while she's drinking coffee. I can appreciate that, because I do similar stuff like that, and just watch an episode a day. It's kind of fun when you're going through a series that way. But yeah, I love. I always implore Justin to give it a rewatch.
He's doing it right now.
Yeah, he's doing it right now. He's going to rush to that thing.
I meant you're imploring him right now.
Yeah, I'm imploring you right now. But I understand this isn't the Paul, Dave, and Justin from 5 years ago, where we can waste time rewatching movies. Where if we have time to watch a movie, it's got to be almost dedicated to a movie we haven't seen, because it's who's got the time for that? I still will go back and rewatch. I'm crazy though. I go back and rewatch all sorts of shit.
I look through the titles of the new movies, and except for the ones that I know about.
Yeah.
Spaceman, I think you're going to like. We'll watch the trailer when we're done.
Yeah.
But
Adam Sandler, I'm weird about. But.
Very rarely do I see a movie. And there is one I just can't remember I saw about 3 months ago that I was like, this is a great movie. But
yeah.
I probably talked
about it. Yeah. I like the Oscar movies. I not many of them I've seen. The Saltburn I've seen, which I liked, and obviously Oppenheimer and Barbie are going to win everything anyways, but and I've seen those, but yeah, there hasn't been. I've been waiting for one of the streamers to get like one of the big, like, kind of bangers that's been coming out recently, but I haven't seen anything. I don't know
what
where
was that Donald,
well, Paramount has.
What was the Donald Glover one when he was undercover in the 70s for Black Power? Adam Driver was his alter ego on the phone.
Oh, okay, the Klansman? Black Klansman? Yeah. I love Black Klansman. I watched that
about 6 weeks ago.
That's a great fucking movie right there. All right. What was that movie we just talked about?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
There you go. All right. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Check it out. All right. My next one. And I friggin' love I love this movie. I haven't watched it in a long time. I feel like we don't often give it love around here. And I'm thinking, obviously, we've talked about every movie you can go back in the past. I'm not sure when we even talked about it. But 1996, People versus Larry Flint. I friggin' love People versus Larry Flint, man. You forget how great of a friggin' movie that is. You also forget how little... Woody Harrelson has aged. He ages so fucking great because that was a long time ago, man. 96. What the hell? And how
is he vegan?
Yeah, he's vegan. Yeah, he's fully, I think, just full on hippie. Won't wear the clothes. He's like Joaquin, where he left. He'll wear hemp clothes and no animal products.
I only eat red meat and pork maybe 4 times a year now.
Yep. Yeah. We eat pork, but not as much. Chicken is our main thing, but
fish. We eat a lot of fish.
But Larry Flint, if you're not familiar with Larry Flint, he was
a smut lord.
He was the smut lord.
He owned Hustler, right?
He owned Hustler magazine, man. Yeah. He started out at the very beginning of the movie. They show him as a kid. He was a moonshiner. He's just like a scrapper, you know. He started moonshining with his brother, and then they jump forward, and from there he owned a string of like titty bars in Texas, and from that people
they
were
say
like,
sex sells, but I'm
well, not. And they were doing like a kind of a monthly review magazine just for the strip club, and one of the patrons is like, where can I get one of those? You know, I'd buy that if it was monthly and everything. And they were like, the light bulb went off in the head. And it's like, hey, why don't we go nationally?
Playboy
with this?
Was already around though, wasn't it?
Playboy was around.
This
Penthouse
was
around.
Way more.
But this was risque. They were not showing, they weren't showing penetration. Well, I don't
eventually
even think at the beginning they didn't even show penetration in Hustler, but I think they eventually did. But they were not showing like full straight on shots of vagina. They were in Playboy. That's like they would show pubic hair and women
maybe
with their legs,
but it was always
tightly shut.
It was always under a like pink lighting.
Yeah, and their legs were like tightly shut.
Yeah,
where Hustler like spread out, and there was a great scene where he's like, he's talking to the photographer, and the photographer's like, "I can't shoot that." And he's like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "Well, we can't shoot the genitalia." And he's like, "Are you a God fearing man?" She's like, "Yeah." He says, "Do you believe God created everything?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Do you believe that God created women?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Like, do you remember believe that they created vagina?" She says, "Yes." He says, "Who are you to defy God? Now shoot her vagina." And that's how he got him to take the pictures. And
what's her name was great.
Courtney Love.
Yeah,
she was awesome. Well, she played how we all kind of thought she was in real life, kind of skanky.
I don't think she acted.
I think she acted. I mean, she wasn't that bad, but we always kind of got the feel that she was kind of that greasy kind of.
She's a greasy punk rock,
punk rocker girl, and everything.
Not punk
I think,
rock, but like, dirt
but
rock.
She's not an grunge actress, rocker. And she came in here and she nailed it. So I don't know how much I should mention. Milos Forman was the director. The late great Milos Forman did Amadeus. And a couple of the really great movies.
Amadeus.
Yeah, Rock Me Amadeus.
Amadeus.
I don't think that was him, but I don't want to give him credit. But also was great, and this was the first time we saw Ed Norton.
Yeah.
Ed Norton killed it as his lawyer. And I remember there was a moment in the movie where he was like threatening to quit. He's like, "Larry, I can't take this anymore. You're defying the quarter says you're not allowed to leave the state," and he's leaving the state, and he's like, "Relax." He says, "I'm the perfect client. I have shitloads of money, and I'm always in trouble, and I don't give a fuck." He says,
"Well, he was an activist. He became an activist.
Oh yeah, big time.
For free rights, free speech, but also other stuff too.
People were coming at him left and right. He was always visiting the Supreme Court.
Well, he went there. Remember with the American flag
as his diaper. He said, "You're gonna treat me like a baby. I'm gonna act like a baby."
Someone shot him.
Yep. Well, that was where it became crazy. So he started getting sued all over the place.
I stole your thought.
No, that's exactly what happened, though. And a lot of people don't remember that part, too, that it, especially rewatching the movie, you're like, oh, man, this is all some crazy stuff, how he's becoming this, like, smut peddler, and, like, Oral Roberts is talking about him, and Jimmy Carter's wife took a special liking to him. At one point, invites him over to the house, and he becomes a God-fearing guy. Remember, for, like, a year, the magazine went things with God, and there was only showing women naked in the Garden of Eden style, and they got rid of it. Once he got shot, they went back to being smut peddlers, is what Courtney Love said. We're back to smut peddlers again. But
it's a lot more money than that.
So when he's at one of his trials, we see this one guy go to the top of the building and just shoots him and Ed Norton. People forget that Ed Norton also got shot. Ed Norton, it just went straight through, and he was fine afterwards. I don't know what his recouping period was, but Larry Flint got a bullet and it went right to his spinal column, and he was a paraplegic from the waist down ever since. Everything waits up worked fine. And so for the rest of the movie, and it even kind of, Larry Flint had this weird thing with his voice, and I think it just happened. Yeah, he had that weird kind of, he actually had a role like in the movie too. He played the judge that sentenced Larry Flint, and I thought it was hilarious that he got to sentence himself.
I had seen him a lot.
Yeah.
I knew what he looked like.
I did too.
I had watched him talk a bunch, so it wasn't surprising.
Just a great story all around. And like I said, they take it all the way to the Supreme Court. What's that?
Oliver Stone?
No, Milos Forman.
Milos Forman.
Yeah, Milos Forman.
Why does it sound feel like it?
It does seem like an Oliver Stone movie. Yeah, it definitely does. It's a fabulous movie that you never see it played anywhere. I'm not sure where it's available to even watch. I have the DVD for it, and I've had it for a long time, but I'm not sure if I've never seen it like kind of streaming anywhere. I'm wondering if it is. I can check it up real quick while we talk about the next one. So yeah, check that out. What's your next one? Your last one here.
It's the tier one. If I was going to tear up or choke up, I don't even think I'd tear up anymore. Most of the time, it's a climactic moment, and it's sometimes in sport movies. Most of the time, it's in sports movies.
You could stream People vs. Larry Flint on Paramount TV. It's the only one I don't have. It seems like Paramount Plus has everything now, and that's the one I don't have. All right, tiered. Go ahead. I'm ready to cry.
Miracle.
Oh, fuck, what are you doing to me?
Disney movie.
I love this fucking movie.
By the way.
Disney
does sports really well.
Love this movie, man. And I don't think we talked about this movie a lot. We definitely before, but not in a while.
One of your favorite guys looking like the real dude, too.
Kurt Russell. Just saw him in the Godzilla series.
Adopt his personality.
Oh, yeah.
The coach.
What's his Herb? Herb Brooks?
Herb Brooks.
Yeah, look at me pulling that name out of them. So, if you're familiar with the 1980 Olympics. Lake Placid.
Lake Placid. Russia had won the last three Olympics.
Hockey.
Maybe four.
Did we mention hockey? Yeah, it's hockey.
We didn't mention hockey.
It's a hockey movie. But you don't have to like hockey. It's the same reason you don't like to have to watch boxing.
You'll like.
Oh, yeah, you'd like it.
If you like hockey, you'll like it more.
You know what we're talking about. Like when you watch Rocky or you watch Rudy, it's all about that emotional strings and what comes along with camaraderie and just sportsmanship.
The crazy thing about hockey is things can change very quickly.
Yeah. I've never played hockey.
I played goalie in Jacksonville for a league for like 3 years straight. That's the most organized.
In Jacksonville. If what's funny about it, if you look at the Olympic team from the 1980s, everyone's from Minnesota or Massachusetts. It's like 90% Minnesota, Massachusetts, because that's where kids were doing back then. It's surprising we're not as into hockey as we were, or we didn't watch
it. I was into it pretty. I spent thousands of dollars. I still have hockey equipment in my
But head. When we were younger, we never watched it on TV.
No.
Where we did watch baseball a lot, and we watched football every once in a while. Baseball was the big one, I think, when we grew up.
Basketball was on the same time hockey season was.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't remember wearing the Celtics.
I watched some Bruins games. I went to a couple Penguin games.
Yeah. But I remember us watching the Red Sox a lot, and we were collecting cards, and we went to the
baseball
see the Paw
was
Sox.
My sport.
It was a big sport.
Baseball and
us.
Golf were my sports.
Yeah,
I liked basketball, but didn't live and breathe it.
Yep, I liked it when I rooted for everyone else, like everyone else rooted for the Celtics up there and the Bruins and everything. But I always wanted to be in hockey, and they got the coolest hats too, man. I would love to be able to wear a Bruins hat, but I do not like. One thing I can't stand is someone coming up to me wanting to talk about sports of a team that I don't know anything about. That's why I only wear Patriots hats.
Yeah.
Because I can
Maria
talk
and
Patriots.
I went to on vacation this time last year, or maybe 2 months from now last year, we flew into Boston. We drove up to Portsmouth. stayed there, and then came back. On our way up, we landed in Boston. We immediately took a rental car to Salem and stayed there for the night. And when we walked into the hotel, they had a bar.
Mm.
So we went in to have a drink, as we do. Celtics were in a playoff game.
Oh, nice.
And all the fans were there to watch it. And I got to be like a Celtics fan for like one slice of 1 minute. I didn't know who was on the goddamn team.
Yeah.
Nothing. But it was fun to be in that hometown atmosphere.
Yeah, that for a while there, I was wearing like Red Sox gear because I'm a fan of the Red Sox. But then people were asking me about scores and players. Yeah. I was like, I don't know shit, dude. Like, at least Patriots, I can name the players, the coaches. I can have intelligent conversations with you. That's what the only reason. I don't wear any Bruins gear, but I would love to, man. They got some of the coolest colors and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So this is
the Olympic hockey team. And going back into the 80s, no professionals were allowed.
They dealt with a lot.
Like the dream team. With
what
basketball.
Was going on in the 80s too, with like the gas crisis Carter. And
I remember waiting at the gas station on South Main.
Yeah,
North Main.
Because you were seven when in the 1980.
Mom was in the car, and we were in a line of cars waiting to get gasoline.
Yep, crazy.
Because it was an embargo, and you could only get your. It was like north of this town could get one day, and the south of the town could get the next day. It was only one station in Mansfield.
It's crazy. Yeah.
But so there was tensions were high. They knew they couldn't beat. They hired Brooks.
Yeah.
Because he had just won with Minnesota, like the national championship.
They're like, this is our guy.
And he came in and said, we can't win. We can't beat him. If you let me do what I want to do, I can put a team together that can beat them one time or two or once. And
that's the great thing is because they have the expo or whatever is going on where all the combine type thing where all the
tryouts.
So they have all the best people from Minnesota and Massachusetts, anybody, and they're all joking
hundreds
about
of
it.
People. They were there for a week to show off their skills. They were gonna. So the crazy thing is like Brooks is up in the booth. He's watching the very first morning of the very first day, and he makes a list. And he hands to the redheaded guy.
Noah Emmerich, yeah.
He was great.
I love
this movie.
I just saw him in Truman Show. He's like, so good in it.
He's like, here's my team.
Yeah.
And he's like, here's my team. And he's like, get everybody together. We're going to send everybody home.
Like Herbis,
the
first day.
And the people that put him together like came and were like, wait a second. The board doesn't have a say on who's.
Yeah.
He's like, you don't even have the best players on this list.
Yeah.
And what he said
like, this guy
always sticks
national.
To me. I'm not looking for the best players. I'm looking for the right ones.
Yep.
This guy works with this guy, like, because a lot of times it's like trying to put together a championship basketball team. Mm. Sometimes if you just put a bunch of superstars in the room,
it's like Moneyball, you know. Moneyball's a little different, but they were
not that much different.
It's not that
they
much
didn't
different.
Use
but
data
were,
to put those. He just used his own mind,
and
knew what he wanted to build. He's like, we're gonna outskate everybody, conditioning, like, and we're gonna. I've watched the Russians play. They play differently. They play as a team. They don't care about the individual, where that's the problem with the NHL.
Yep.
In college, there's a superstar. They don't have any superstars. If there was, like, it'd be several guys. But we're going to adopt their play and confuse the shit out of them because they're used to playing American teams that they know how they play. But
and a lot of this was dealing with the training and the head games. And he didn't go crazy into the head games, but he did do it. Like when they weren't gelling completely right and he brought in that new superstar ringer with no intention of bringing him.
Like, they didn't
just
know
wanted
that,
to
though.
He just wanted
like,
to piss the players off.
Home.
And he did it again where he got angry and he started kicking shit and screaming at the one guy.
Well, here was the crazy thing is like, so after the very first day, they sent home 100 or 200 people, and they kept, like, I think 35, but they had to get down to 30 before they went to the Olympics.
Yeah.
So there was some guys that trained with them all the way
up
to the last game, and then they cut the poor bastard.
Yeah, there was one guy got injured, he couldn't do it. Man, there was, I love the blow and the whistle. Remember they were playing in the exhibition game and they were just like looking at women in the stands.
Check out that girl.
Herb's getting pissed and you could see it. And so once the game's over, they just want to hit the showers and they're exhausted. And he was like, no, you're not going anywhere. We're
drills.
Doing those. What do they call them? Suicide. Before they used to call
them suicides.
I call
basketball.
Them suicides too, where you're just like.
You go quarter and back, half and back, three quarters and back, full and back.
And he just.
Full speed.
And he's.
You don't want to be the last person to cross the line either.
The they do it for so long that they shut the lights out of him, and he says, "Tell the janitor to leave the keys. I'll lock up." And even the doctor, the guy from Twin Peaks, the guy who played Wyndham Earle. Yeah, he played the doctor in this, and he was great.
That's the best role he'll ever.
Oh, I love Wyndham Earle. They let him go fucking bonkers in that role, man, because he's always plays the president or a doctor. I think he was the president in The Day After Tomorrow. He always plays this very, very stern type of guy, but it's funny that they let him cut loose for that role. But also, one of the players was playing his dad, like the Mike Garuziani.
Yeah.
I think his son was actually playing him in the Miracle movie and everything. Yeah. There was a great documentary made on it.
Had to know how to check out. The casting for this movie?
Yeah.
You better know how to skate.
You better know how to play hockey, really. You
better know how to be a hockey
player. Yeah. So they definitely...
there wasn't very many, like, I know that guy.
They were all unknowns. They were all unknowns. I didn't recognize any of the players. Yeah. The only people we knew were the coaches. The
goalie I recognized, but maybe from stuff he did after.
Yeah, maybe. But they definitely cast it really well. And, oh, my God. When they actually went... Disney knows how to do these fucking heartstring types moments. When that Olympic music kicks in and the start of the Olympics was so good in this movie.
But that call, that famous call,
Al Michaels.
Do you believe in miracles?
That's where it chokes me, right at the end, man.
That's I can put that moment. There's been a
couple. It's already giving me goosebumps.
There's a couple of Masters tournaments where Tiger Woods had to make a putt on 18 to force a playoff against Rocco Mediate in like the 2010, and the playoffs in the Masters or the U.S. Open. Man, anyways, he had to birdie the last hole, and the announcer, I still remember the call.
He just lost
it. Did you think anything other than this would happen? Like, he made it and he's doing double fist bumps, and the crowd is freaking the.
Al Michaels came back in to re-record his line. Do you believe in miracles? Yep. They had him come back in. Herb Brooks died right before the movie was released. He died. And I think he got to see it. I think he saw the premiere of it. Someone played it for him, and then he died right afterwards. Thankfully, Herb Brooks made him look fantastic. Who played his wife in it was that redheaded girl from Deadpool played his wife. I can never remember her name. Patricia Clarkson.
But Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Killed it, man.
Like... very subdued guy. Yep. Like, that's not Kurt Russell, usually.
And there's moments where he was getting pissed and everything like that, but even a, like, subdued kind of pissed he was getting. It was really a fantastic movie. If you're into sports movies, it's top tier.
It's top five, probably, at least, in
my opinion, it's top five.
You don't even have to like hockey, like you said.
Yeah. Rudy's right up there with top sports movies, in my opinion.
Moneyball would be on my top 10.
Moneyball is really good. Moneyball is really high up there, too. What is very low for me, though, is
Unnecessary Roughness.
Yeah. Field of Dreams is so low it wouldn't even be on the list. I cannot stand that movie for some reason. I know people love it. Maybe if you watch it at a certain age, it had some kind of resonant, that it resonated with you.
Caddyshack is a sports movie?
When you're getting into a lot more of the comedies, it becomes really kind of questionable.
Because I put Caddyshack 2 on there every day. You ever putt with a wedgie?
Like Bad News Bears. I mean, where do you stop? Like
Bad News Bears, I would consider a sports movie. They do enough sports.
Serious, maybe dramatic sports movies is kind of the way to look at it. Yeah, subcategory. All right, well, I'm going to end with a comedy here. And I'm not sure if you've ever seen this, too. And this eventually became a TV series. It was so popular. I think it's still going. It's got like 5 seasons. But it was based on a movie in 2014. And I fucking love this movie. I played it for my wife a few weeks back, and she actually loved it. I could see us watching it several times. And I've seen it a couple times before then. But it's 2014's What We Do in the Shadows. Do you know what this is? Have you heard of it?
I've seen the TV show.
The TV show. All right.
Maria's watched a couple of seasons.
Yeah.
And it's great.
I haven't watched the show at all yet. I know. We're going to go through and watch the show.
If the movie's half as good as the show, then it'll be great.
The only problem I have with the TV show is the movie is cast so fucking well that you love the three main guys.
I love the cast for the TV show so
much. I'm sure afterwards.
And if I saw the movie, I'd probably be like, I wish those guys were in this.
Well, Tiki, probably. But Tiki Watiti, who is famous director now. He did the what was the Nazi one, the Hitler one, where he played
Hitler's. I tried to tell that plot to somebody, and I was like, no, Hitler's his imaginary buddy.
And he's very funny.
He wouldn't kill the bunny rabbit. So we're like, what are you talking about?
Oh, man.
And they would have tea with
him. But he's also the director of Thor 2 and 3.
He puts himself in some movies,
yeah, he
too,
does a lot of that, and that's what he did here with...
No, he was Hitler.
Yeah, he was Hitler. Yeah. He was the guy who played Hitler. Really funny, Taika Waititi. Well, he played... Well, if you want to know what this movie's about, think of Best in Show. You know, the dog show movie that's being filmed by a film crew, kind of like a reality program. Yeah. But this is all about vampires in England. And so it starts out with Taika Waititi talking to the camera. And
what time of... What era are they in?
It's like the time period. It's like 2010 or something like that. The TV show's in London. So
I want to say that they're in the U.S.
So he just starts. Maybe not. And he's, it's in Jersey.
Okay.
That new show is in like Staten Island.
Yeah, like Staten Island vampires. It works in Staten Island.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely going to start and watch it. I know it's available on Hulu, so we might actually, that might be something good to watch my next couple days off. But.
Who's the guy that gets stuff for Dracula during the day?
Like Renfield?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
His character in the TV show is really good.
They have a woman that does it in the movie, and she just wants to turn. She gets promised that she's turning, but they got no one to do it. Yeah, they got no one to do the housework and to go to all the chores, so they don't want to turn this woman because they have a familiar that has been promised to be a vampire.
You don't
want
to get turned at 90, then you have to be 90 the rest.
But there's so many great key moments. So at the beginning of the movie, Taika Waititi is walking around their flat, and he's introducing everybody. So he says, "This is me. I used to be a butler, and I'm over 300 years old," and he's like, "Now I'm going to introduce you to the other flatmates. This is so-and-so, and it's the guy from Flight of the Conchords," which is, he's super, super funny. And he's more of the bombastic kind of vampire. He's the head vampire kind of in that in the show. I see him all the time. Then there's another vampire who thinks he's like the sexy vampire and everything, and he's the least sexiest thing you've ever seen. And then they have one who's like a Nosferatu who lives in the basement. Named Peter.
I don't know that character. They must not have kept that character.
And they're showing all their interactions. As they go out at night. They have interactions with the werewolves in town.
Yeah.
Like they have fights, feuds with them and everything. And there's a great line where one of the werewolves swears at me. He's like, "Hey, we're werewolves, not swearwolves. We're not swearing." And the werewolves are doing nothing but trying to, they're kind of like the hippie mild group. They were like, "Everyone be cool, everyone be cool." And when the moon comes out, they chain themselves up the trees and shit like that. And they get instigated by the vampire. Well, they introduce this young vampire that gets bitten early on in the movie. And he's kind of where he's learning how to be a vampire and learning to fly. And it's funny how they go out one night and the next interview, it's him saying, "So I've been turned. I was turned by Peter, the Nosferatu and the thing. He let me drink some of his blood. So I'm the new vampire. So I've only been a vampire for like 2 months." And he's kind of the cocky one and everything. And they go out to the bars with one of my favorite scenes. They start going out to the bars and he can't stop getting drunk and bragging that he's a vampire. "Hey, I'm a vampire. What do you want to do?" He says, "Yeah, I'm a vampire too. What can you do?" And he starts floating in the air and the other guy freaks out because obviously he's not a vampire. He goes to somebody at the bar and he says, "Yeah, I'm a vampire." "Aren't you?" He says, "No, you're not." He says, "I would have heard of you." And then he goes back and then like 10 minutes later, we hear a scream at the apartment. And the Nosferatu in the basement, Peter, is on fire. And they jump down in the, they go down to the basement, they put him out, and he's like completely dead. And they see a dead guy next to him on the ground. They're like, "Who the hell is this guy?" And he's like, "Oh, I know that guy. He told me he was a vampire, and I was bragging at the bar with him. I never thought he'd show up here." He said, "That is my bad." And the new vampire has this, I don't know what his name is. It's like George or something like that, who's a human that just hangs out with the group that they're all cool with, and they've all agreed, "We're not going to turn George, because George is cool." But the whole movie is, and maybe the first season of the TV show is about this.
I've seen random episodes.
The whole movie is working towards this big ball. Like the film crew is filming these vampires in their flat because they're in about a month, they're going to Romania to the big, it's not just vampires, it's the big the creatures ball or something like that.
Player haters ball.
And they bring George to it and everything, and they were like, "You brought George's a human? You brought a human?" So George isn't safe and everything, and man, it's such a fun movie. You got, like I said, you think Best in Show, that's how people are being interviewed. It's that
There's
really
no
funny comedy.
That,
there's no wonder that it got made into a TV show.
Yeah, when I watched the movie, I was like, this is so fucking funny. So I'm eagerly looking forward to the TV show, but I'm telling you, watch the OG movie, man.
One of the female vampires is super funny in the TV show.
And they don't have any of the female vampires in this. It's just those three dudes.
One of the...
They do change the familiar girl that does all the housework for him at the end, and she, her husband becomes the new familiar and everything, and she's ordering him around to do all the vacuuming and housework during the day while they all sleep. So it's really, really funny, man. And it's one of those things, we're all kind of sick of vampires, but like a vampire comedy. Every once
in a while, if you do it right.
Yep. And if you do it as right, a comedy.
Like if someone came out with a zombie movie, like I would have told you zombie movies were dead. And then
I just need a couple years.
But the one where they domesticated them.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Oh, Fido. Yeah. A good comedy you throw in there.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, technically, The Last of Us is kind of a zombie movie, but it's not really. It's like a biological kind of plant type thing that's taking over people and making them evil and everything. It's awesome, but yeah, What We Do in the Shadows, man. I know it's on FX, and I see the commercials every once in a while, and I know Mark Hamill did a stint on it where he came in as one of the vampires. Because that's the thing, you could always have a visiting vampire and everything like that. And I think they're five seasons in. I think the fifth season is about to air, so I definitely got to go back to the beginning and check it out. Like you said, I'll get used to these new characters. It's just so sad that I don't get to see TT Watiti.
And maybe that is why when some people like are teenagers and they watch a movie now.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is a remake.
Yeah, yeah.
And they go back and they're like, this sucks. Yeah. Because this guy is Bo Duke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not that guy.
Not that guy. I mean, it's whatever you've been introduced to first.
So whatever you got introduced first or that you liked first.
But I can adapt. I'm sure I'll like it. And it's a hell of a lot more material than just the 90 minutes that we got from the movie. So they can take it places that I wouldn't even imagine. Like you said, there's female vampires now. They can do all sorts of stuff like that. And being in Jersey really opens it up because Staten Island is its own kind of
bubble
of weird people.
You probably wouldn't stand out as much
as
a vampire in Staten Island.
No, and and it wouldn't work as well as a TV show if it was London over here too. People want to see it like an American kind of based type of thing. But yeah, that's the flicks we're bringing you, man. Check that one out. I'm not sure where that's available either. I bought that at like the book sale one time used. Fabulous purchase, though.
Fabulous.
Man, physical media is coming back. People are realizing that not everything's streaming and everything. Now Disney Plus is trying to get part of it. They just announced 2 days ago that they're releasing steelbooks of the complete season of Andor, complete season of like Obi-Wan, and a couple of their other big properties there.
I mean,
that Andor, dude, that is the best show that you have not seen. You would fucking love it. It's all spy shit. It's not anything like Star Wars. You would almost not even know it had anything to do with Star Wars when you watched it. It's Tony Gilroy.
That was the pitch they gave.
Well, Tony Gilroy.
Their actors at the first meeting.
The guy who did Michael Clayton wrote it and directed it with his brother. And they were like, you're like, who the fuck did this, man? They need to do every fucking one of these shows because they made it really intelligent where there is not a whole lot of intelligence in some of their other shows, but
look at the dumb. Is that a nice way to say dumb?
Well, look at the recent releases from Marvel.
I haven't seen any of those.
Fuck, man. Sony is destroying themselves, releasing that like Madam Web and the fucking Morbius and Venom.
They'll reconnect. They'll fix those
10 years from now.
People forget about them and they'll just do new ones.
What's her name? Sydney Sweeney, who's been all over the news because she's beautiful and sweet and people want to give her shit for some reason.
Is she a porn star?
No. See, that's, I think, what's the problem is people kind of think that about her.
I don't know.
She's from Euphoria.
She didn't do porn before?
No.
Sure?
Yeah. No, she's apparently a super sweet girl that just happens to have really big boobs, and she started out.
That wasn't the reason. I literally thought someone.
No, I don't think so. I think she's like a super sweet Midwestern girl that came out and she's been doing movies for a while, and she got on Euphoria and she got really famous for that, and she got cast as Madam Web, and now she's kind of the big hot topic right now because she just did Saturday Night Live, and most of the sketches were her with the big boobs and everything. They're making fun of it and everything. But it's a sad that she even goes on there on her monologue and rips her own movie. That no one saw that Madam Web. It was her and that Dakota Johnson. Dakota Johnson's great. She'll bounce back.
Oh, after. I know why I think that.
Why is it?
When she had done Euphoria, Cam Soda offered her $15 million to do 12 one-hour live cams.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
12 hours of
work. I think
work,
she deals with that type of crap a lot.
$15 million. And she said no, obviously.
Yeah. But no, she's a real actress. She's good. It's a shame that she's getting body shame.
Shame
for,
on me.
She's literally getting body shame for having a good body.
That wasn't even why I was thinking. I couldn't tell you what she looked like. Yeah. I just remember someone offering a shit ton
of
money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, she's really good. She's playing a nun in a new movie, which is definitely probably the role she should be doing if she wants to get away from that kind of yeah,
what
that
can
look.
I do that... That screams no sex.
I mean, she was nude through most of that Euphoria show. So, I mean, it makes sense that people are going to look at her in a certain kind of light. But now that she's done other stuff and everything, be like, you know, just because we saw Jamie Lee Curtis took her top off back in the 80s, doesn't mean it's not a great actor in the 90s. So, people got to just relax. But I think there was three different actresses in that movie that people are like, man, they need to come up with a good movie right afterwards because that Madam Web just like shit the bed. So... Not a lot of whole good movies coming out as far as Marvel comes, but this year we get to see some Ghostbusters. Man, we get to see some Beetlejuice 2. Oh, man, I can't wait. Yeah, 22nd for Ghostbusters. I will definitely be there. I haven't been to the movies in like 7-8 months, something like that. So my first time out will be the Ghostbusters. I don't want
to
learn.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood might be the best movie I went to.
Last movie? Mm-hmm. Really? Wow. Yeah, it's been a while for you. They just come out so fast on streaming that there's no reason to fucking...
Yeah. I don't have time to watch movies.
Yeah. I don't want to... Like, Killers of the Flower Moon, I really wanted to see in the theater, but I'm not going to sit there for 4 hours.
No.
I took 3 breaks here at the house.
Yeah.
Did all sorts of different shit. Went back to it. That's why I think you'd love it.
You can sit there with a drink in your hand. I can't drink scotch out of a glass.
Do you see
at the movie theater?
Do you see the image that came out this week of, or the video of somebody watching... Damn, I can't even remember what movie it was. Oh, Dune. They went and saw Dune 2, and they were like, I never thought I'd see this at the end of Dune 2 during the credits, and they start recording. Mm-hmm. I guess they're not giving him as much a shit because the lights were on when they're filming. But Ben Affleck and J-Lo are in the seats in front of them. So they just see Ben Affleck stand up and J-Lo grab her popcorn and all their trash and start walking out and everything. And the biggest thing people are talking about is, why is the popcorn completely filled to the top? They were like, these guys didn't need their popcorn. But it's just hilarious. People like it. You don't think these guys in Hollywood go to movies? Everyone thinks they have private viewings in their house and everything like that. And I think, no.
Some of them do.
Well, in Hollywood, I don't think it's...
Prince never went to a movie theater.
I don't think it's odd to see these people out.
Prince never went to a movie theater.
No, probably not.
Prince had it.
Well, he lived in Minnesota, theater. Too. He just kind of lived on his little kind of compound there. But all right. Well, we got some exciting stuff coming up next couple weeks. Me and Justin, I know, are going to film... record another one real soon.
Film. You guys do a film?
Yeah. You don't know we film it? See it on YouTube. Me and Justin record another wild card episode. I'm going up north a month from today, so me and Eric are going to do one of our classic kind of horror wild cards. And that'll be an exciting one, and we're slowly approaching, since we're doing like a every 2 to 3 week release time period here, we're slowly coming up on 300. We'll do something special for that, but... If you want to reach out and touch somebody, well, whoa. No, you can't do that now.
Less arrested for that.
Let me rephrase that. If you want to chat with us, okay. You can hit us up at fascinatingfilms@gmail.com, or you could visit Facebook where me and Justin are on. That's Fascinating with Films at on Facebook. Or if you can leave us a like or a comment, we'd appreciate it on our two platforms, which are SoundCloud and iTunes.
Paul lives at 723 Sherman Lane if you want to show up at his house.
Just visit. We'll chat. We'll watch movies. I don't care. I got no life.
That is Gainesville, Florida. Sherman Lane.
Sherman Lane. But until next time, see you.
Bye.
He handed us fiction after fiction, and we printed them all as fact.